So we have been in a series, and this is a Mother's Day message in our series. Been in a series called Captain Temptation, or Captain Obvious and Superhumans. Captain Obvious, Hotels.com. Captain Obvious are the temptations that you and I face every day. And the Bible says that they're common to man. They're just human-like. That's what that means. And so any temptation that you and I are going to have, we haven't sinned yet, but we're tempted, anything that we're faced with is going to be just common. It's everywhere. It's just obvious. It's Captain Obvious. And so there's no temptation that you and I are ever going to run into or be challenged with that we don't watch and see everywhere. All day, every day, we've probably said, I'll never do that, a dozen times or more, and then we're tempted with it. It's Captain Obvious. Temptation is everywhere. Superhumans are us. We can live above temptation. We can, with the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, we can rise above temptations. That's the series we're in. The help we have in Christ, in the Word of God, we can live above temptations. So today we're going to stay with that thought. The book of James talks to us about some things we are tempted with. And I'm going to use a couple of our moms today, at least a couple, to help us with this situation. And here's what I'm thinking, because today I want to look at temptation from a church standpoint rather than an individual standpoint. I want to see it as church, family building, rather than individual building. What I mean by that, I'll show you. So if moms, here you go. Let me start this way. So let me grab one of our moms back here.
Can you grab my mom?
No. This is Vera Freidenberg. Do you want to hold it, Vera? Okay, Vera, how many kids did you have?
Five.
Five kids, right?
Yes. Okay.
How many girls and how many boys?
Two girls and three boys.
Two girls and three boys. Can you name them?
Roseanne, Mary, David, Daryl, and Mark.
Okay. Now, you've outlived a few of them, correct?
All of them.
You've outlived all of them. Yes, you have. Yeah, that's a good answer. She is our oldest mom here. But there's a couple that are two or three that are alive, and a few have passed away already.
Yeah, my two girls passed away, one 4 years ago and one year ago.
Okay, now, so here's the question. Out of all five of your kids, which one do you absolutely love way more than the others?
I don't think I could say that. I think I love them all the same.
You love all five of your kids the same?
Yes.
Every one of them. There's no distinction.
No,
you love everyone the same?
I think so, yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I give a hand for Vera. So we've got 90 years of mom there. And yes, she's outlived them all. 90 years of mom, five kids. Girl's been around the block, and she says, I love all my kids the same. There's not one kid that I can say, I just love this one more than others. That's good family building, isn't it? That's how you build a family. You love every single child the same. So if I'm going to take James and we are tempted something as we are building this family, you and I, we're building this family, right? This is a family of God, a family of Christ. Listen to what James says. If you're tempted, brothers, if you're tempted, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, well, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So God says, when you're building your family here, you might be tempted when rich men or poor men or different people come into your congregation, you might be tempted to show some sort of partiality to some. You might make a distinction in your mind and go, don't think I want to go meet that person. That person, I'm going to go talk to that person. I'm going to welcome that person. That person over there looks a little rough or odd or strange or different or something. Don't be tempted to do that. That's not family building. That's not how we build a family here. And quite honestly, if we think that way, particularly in this illustration of rich and poor, we don't know God as well as we think we know God. And you may think, I know God pretty well, but quite honestly, he says, you know what, you've just really shown some partiality to that rich guy. I've chosen the poor guy to be rich in faith. You don't know me like you think you know me. And we all say, you know what? I love my neighbor as I love myself. That's what this whole thing's about. It's just love, love, love. And he says, you know what? If somebody comes into your congregation, brothers, and you go, no, I don't think I'm going to get to know that one, you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. Says you've broken the whole royal law of God. You're not loving at all. He says you've become a judge with evil thoughts. When you look across that room and you go, nah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. You don't know God. You don't understand love. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. And you said that's what you are. And you've become a judge with evil thoughts. God didn't ask us to be a judge of the law. He's the judge of the law. There's only one. Brothers, every person in this congregation counts. Every person that walks in these doors matters to us. Every single person that walks, crawls, or flies through those doors Jesus died for. And we have got to show love across the board to every single one. I hope there's no one in here you would say, I don't care to know that person. I don't care to make that person feel welcome here. There's every single person here is welcome. Every single person here is loved and important to us and to God. Vera said it, I love all my children the same. And everybody here, we are God's children. Well, here's another question. A little bit trickier. A little bit trickier. Shirley, you have kids? How many? Hold that. How many kids?
Two, and then three-step.
Two kids, three-step kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. And boys, girls?
Two boys, two girls, and one boy.
Two girls. And now, when they were growing up, how many were little and grew up in your home? All five?
All five.
Okay. They ever argue or fight?
Yeah.
You boys ever duke it out?
My two.
You too? girls ever?
No.
You seem like you would be kind of a disciplinarian to me.
Yeah.
How did you, when the boys started kind of quarreling, calling each other names, how did you handle it?
Well, I kind of jerked their shirt and took them into my face and told them to knock it off.
You did. Yeah. That's not good family building.
It's not?
No, quarreling and fighting is not good.
Oh.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on the discipline part. I'm with you.
All right.
Why didn't you let them? Why did you grab them by the shirt?
Well, one was older than the other.
Okay.
So.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Right.
Somebody's going to get hurt. You just didn't want to build your family with a bunch of quarreling
and
name calling.
Most of the time.
What were your kids' names?
Brett, Joe, and then there was Elise, Ariel, and Steven.
Brett's a pretty big guy.
Brett is big.
He could hurt somebody.
Yeah, he could.
But you got right in his face?
Got right in his face.
All right. Thank you. It's not good family building. So James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you, brothers? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it's for no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So, if we're family building here, I probably won't come up to you if you quarrel, if you talk about each other or talk about me. I probably won't take Shirley's technique and grab you by the shirt collar and say, look, mister. God might do it. Yeah, well, you can be the bouncer. I'm calling Shirley. It wasn't good family building for her, and it's not good family building for God. When we quarrel and we fight, when we talk about each other, it's a temptation that God says, that's not good family building. I don't need that. I don't need you to judge your brothers. I need you to love your brothers. He says, you're acting just like the world. That's what it says when it says you're a friend of the world. Don't you know that being a friend of the world is an enemy of God? He says, you're acting just like they do. They quarrel and fight and talk about each other. It's not going to go anywhere with Shirley's family, and it's not going to go anywhere here. People come in and they see you quarreling and fighting and talking about each other. Do they want to be here? No. And if you act just like the world, you have a pride problem. You have a pride problem. You want something. You want your way like your kids do. They want their way, and you can't have it. And so you quarrel, and you fight, and you argue, and you call each other names because you can't have your way. And he says here, it's your pride. God opposes you, the proud. You need to humble yourselves. Quit being like the world and start loving each other. Cleanse your hands and purify your heart and humble yourself before the Lord. We may think God hears my prayers. God's hearing my prayers. And he says, you know what? You ask and you don't receive because you're quarreling. Because you just want what you want. You want your way. How many times has a mom in here said, you can't always have your way? You can't always have your way. You can't have that toy. He's playing with that. You can't always have your way. And that's what God says. You can't always have your way. You want your way. You even pray for your way. But I don't give it to you. And you need to humble yourself. You need to humble. It's pride that makes us quarrel and fight and argue. So two things. If we're going to build this family for God, for Jesus, and we want people to come in and go, man, this is a great family of people. I want to be a part of this. I want my kids to be a part of this. We can't show distinctions. We can't show partiality. Everybody in here counts. I'm ready. We can't show distinctions, and we can't quarrel and fight and want my way. I want my way, Mom. I'm going to sick Shirley after you. And she will do it. She will do it. Right? Who's going to want to come in here and see a family quarreling and fighting and distinctions and partiality and not just everybody embracing everybody? There's one verse I want to share with you from Galatians. Might mean something. Listen, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. Through your faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. When God looks down on us as his family, he doesn't see Jew or Greek. He doesn't see slave or free or owner. He doesn't see Rome. He doesn't see Israel. He sees people he died for. He sees every single person in this room that he died for, that he loves. He doesn't even see male and female. Don't treat that female bad. Don't hate men. I died for every single one of you, and I want you all to just love each other. I don't want you to argue and fight and talk bad about each other. That's not how I want my family to grow. Jesus died for every single person here. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to be a part of our family. We believe this. We believe this is true. Jesus died for each one here, and every person here is important and loved by God. There's no baggage, there's no history, there's nothing in your story disqualifies you from the love of Christ or from this family of people. You are loved. And we pledge, and we are moving in a direction as Cornerstone Christian Church, we are moving in the direction we love all men and all women. You're all welcome here.